Welcome to Manager Tools. When a direct says no repeatedly to feedback, part four. This cast answers these questions. Do directs have to accept feedback? What do I do if a direct says no to feedback? What if a direct says no to feedback repeatedly? Well, if you want answers to those questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
Folks, you ever noticed on some products, they say things like, nobody's better. Usually what that means is their regulations. Golf balls are a classical example of this. No ball goes farther than ours. Well, that's because the balls are limited by the rules and everybody goes to the full limit of the rules. I don't know how our client deliveries compare to anybody else's, but I would put them up against anyone else's. And since there's no data, I'm going to tease you and say, nobody's better. I believe that in my heart, but generally when you say nobody's better, you're implying some third-party endorsement. And we're different enough that sometimes I wonder whether the third parties exist. Whether you need effective manager, effective communicator, effective hiring manager, or now our new product, really brought on because of the pandemic and working from home, which is effective remote manager, which addresses the trinity for remote managers. We have services for you, and we hope you'll talk to us about how to make your managers more effective. Thanks.
All right, Mark, we are on part four. This is longer than I think we both expected, but there's a lot of stuff here. So,
do you think anybody will listen since we're at four parts? And the fourth part, which is the conversation you have with your direct, we already, in interest of satisfying the high D's in the audience.
Well,
We've already read it.
Yeah, the high D's right now just said, okay, stop.
Yeah, stop. Done. Bye.
We've already talked about it's the fact that it's okay for directs to say no to feedback.
Yeah, but not forever.
We've agreed. You've convinced me. You've convinced me that directs do have a core obligation to accept feedback, right?
Yeah.
What to do when you start to get worried.
Yeah.
Which is essentially start making notes about their behaviors. So today we're going to finish this all up to answer the question, what do you do and what do you say to a direct who continually says no? Which is what every new manager who's introduced to feedback worries about.
What do I do? Yeah.
Probably unnecessarily, but still.
Yeah. So, part of the reason we gave the guidance up front, shared the speech with you up front, not that it's a speech, was because some people don't want to hear the rationale. The reason we want everyone to hear the rationale is so that you can apply, when you get into this situation and your situation is slightly different, you'll know the rationale and you'll be able to figure out how to modify this approach for your particular situation. But I got to tell you, once you understand all this background, once you understand the rationale and the fact that directs can say no, but they can't forever, and why that is and so on, it's actually pretty easy to have the conversation. And, you know, it's too bad that more of us as managers don't understand how our organizations are structured and run, why they are the way they are. I certainly didn't in the Army. I didn't at Procter & Gamble. I didn't until I started studying it, and it's too bad. And unfortunately, they don't really teach it in college. So in any event, too many managers have thought for too long that the tides were against them. The union was against them. HR was against them. Poor performing individuals were against them. Role power wasn't enough. Their boss was disinterested. They were expected to just figure it out. Every time somebody complained, HR got involved. You know, guys, that's why we're here, to support you, the manager. So have this conversation in your next one-on-one. If you're not doing Manager Tools 03s, Manager Tools one-on-ones, you'll have to schedule a special meeting and your direct will come in much more on the defensive. Another good reason for doing one-on-ones. And frankly, likely having guessed what the topic is, right? One of Horstman's laws is you're not that smart and they're not that dumb. People will figure things out. Look, think of it this way. Remember the horseman middleman test. Suppose your boss invited you to a meeting without saying what it was about and invited no one else after you And this happens after you had been pushing back against one of his habits or processes. I mean, come on. You'd have to be an idiot not to say, well, I guess I'm getting called on the carpet. And not that that makes your direct any more clever, but it might make them more defensive and might make them more quick to anger, which we don't want. We want no drama, no tension, no conflict. Now, before we share it, particularly a cautionary note for you younger managers or maybe just less confident managers, I promise you, you have the upper hand in this conversation. You don't need to be nervous. You don't need to be doubtful of its outcome. You are in the right. The outcome will be either your direct changes their response to your feedback, or they'll know that performance communications won't stop, and they'll be slowly giving you hundreds of instances of the lack of their own professionalism. What this also means is this meeting is for you to make clear where things are and where things are going. You're not there to argue or discuss, unlike the popular internet press. And of course, as you all know, the internet is full of geniuses who paid tons of money to share their background and information, particularly the younger ones who have never been managers or executives, and so therefore have all kinds of wisdom about how things should run in organizations. This is not an opportunity for you to have a dialogue. Not all things are a dialogue. Not all things are an opportunity for your direct to respond. In the same way that you surely don't think that every time you go to talk to your boss, that every single conversation, there will be a full and fair opportunity for you to share all of your thoughts and ideas with your boss. And you're not there to discuss alternatives. During all the time of your direct refusing your feedback, they could have engaged about what they didn't like. They could have complained, but they didn't. Just for the record, you say, well, how do you know they didn't? We've never had a single case of someone not liking the model and making a case for a better one. Never. Not one.
Right. Now, just so people who are new, and maybe somebody's listening who didn't listen to the previous cast on this topic, if you think you're going to give this speech that we're talking about here shortly, after asking somebody if they're willing to accept feedback two or three times, you have the wrong frame of mind here. We have asked the direct repeatedly, right?
Yeah. That's, you know, we have the green tail story. If one person tells you you have a green tail, they're an idiot. If two people tell you you have a green tail, it's conspiracy. But when seven people tell you you have a green tail, you turn around and look. Our data show that you have to wait numerous times before you start giving systemic feedback. In the case of the systemic feedback cast, it's actually seven instances before you say, hey, you're not changing your behavior. There's a concern here long term. And part of the reason we went to seven is when we coached managers on doing five, some of them pulled the trigger at three, which is too soon. It's just too soon. People don't believe that's a pattern. They believe those are three random instances connected in time. I disagree. Many of them are patterns, but you don't want to have an argument about how much data you have.
Yeah, this is great. I mean, can you imagine Mark telling your boss you were going to refuse her something that you knew was in her purview because you didn't like the way she did it, like over and over and over again? I mean, that's the horseman middleman test, right? It's like
right. And you think about that for a second, right? I mean, I can't imagine anybody listening to this cast would say, "Oh, I would absolutely do that to my boss." Right? They would say, no, I get it. I got to acquiesce, right? I don't get everything I want. But then they wonder whether or not they should accept it from your directs. So if you haven't heard it before, the horseman midline test, never tolerate from your directs that which you would not visit upon your boss. And look, something else too. Don't tolerate any interruptions. This isn't a discussion. You've been attempting to have professional, respectful, kind, encouraging, that's the first word in our feedback model, to encourage effective future behavior. You've been trying to have encouraging conversation with your direct, and he or she has said no. Every once in a while, you get to say, no, the floor is mine, and I get to make a few points. This isn't a discussion. It's a shot across their bow. And frankly, guys, as I've heard said before, I never dreamed this would happen and the numbers it has happened. But if I were a licensee, I'd print this out and I'd read it. And here's what you say. Look, dude, I'm concerned about your response to my efforts to communicate with you about your performance recently. Over the past several weeks, I've asked you several times, over 10, if you are open to communication about your performance, and you've refused. Here are the instances, and here's what I was going to say, and then you would go through them. The fact that your obligation to receive feedback hasn't been made clear to you surprises me, but it doesn't change either your or my responsibility. Look, we're all obligated to seek effectiveness and efficiency in our job. It's a function of our job. And to create trusting relationships with the people around us. And when our situation changes, all of us here have to change what we do and how we do it to seek new goals. And that includes you. You too have a responsibility to change with the environment you're in. And the way organizations work, I'm responsible to deliver the changes you need to make to you. I'm the one that is helping you interpret the environment, the situation you're in, and tell you, hey, the environment has changed and we need more of X and less of Y, as an example. And really, that's a huge part of why bosses exist, to point out when behaviors are helping and effective and efficient beyond perhaps what the direct can see, and to point out when one of their team gets off track. The external customer can't do it for everyone. The CEO can't do it for everyone. So we have this organizational structure where everybody has a boss who speaks for the company. And relative to you, that's me. I've been doing my part, but you've not been doing yours. You have a professional obligation. It's part of your job to accept feedback about how you're doing. Clearly, you know this. You come in for your performance review several times. Your previous bosses have signatures on them. But look, I'm not here to try to persuade you of my obligations. I don't have to persuade you any more than I have to persuade you of gravity. So here's how I'm going to proceed going forward. I'm going to continue to ask you if I can give you feedback. By asking, I'm completely comfortable with you saying no in any instance. And if your pattern continues, we're going to continue to have conversations like this one. But there will be other consequences as well. I'm keeping track of all your feedback. I'm just making notes of it. And of course, your refusals. And I have to. It's my job. And you're behaving unprofessionally by refusing part of your job. If your behavior continues over the course of the next few months, say, I'll not only continue keeping track, I'll brief my boss in on what's going on. I'll give him an overview of the amount and kinds of communication you're refusing. It's interesting to think that some of that will be positive feedback that you refused. It will be helpful to him and to me and to the organization, actually, if your behavior continues, that I brief him with all the details so he knows he's fully briefed. Now look, I think I made it clear to you that I want you to change your behavior. I won't get into a discussion with you about how you would like your performance communications delivered to you. This isn't a short order diner. Let's also be clear though, you and I, about what will happen if your behaviors continue. At the end of the year, I will have 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 instances where I ask you to do your job to accept performance communications and you refused. It's going to be very hard for me to give you any kind of meets expectations rating on your annual performance review when you're not meeting this foundational part of your job and everyone else's job here. Your review will reflect that, and it'll be a review that I'll have to defend. Of course, I will have read my boss in already to what you have been doing, and I will have 20 to 30 to 50 to 100 instances of you refusing to do your job. And look, when you complain, as you probably would to HR, because people see them as a protector of themselves, here's how it will look. You'll be angry, and you'll complain and say that I'm mistreating you. I'll have 20 to 30 to 50 to 100 pieces of data compiled over several months. There's going to be a three-way dance between me and you and HR, and the fourth partner will be all the other members of my team who have been eagerly getting more and more positive and negative feedback from me. But in the three-way dance between me and you and HR, you're going to lose that argument. At that point, there will have been a long history of you not doing your job and a record of it. And now, a less than stellar performance review. And I can't imagine you want to fall on that big of a sword just because you don't like receiving performance communications. I'm hopeful you'll come around. That's all. Thanks for meeting with me.
Now, what if they ask questions?
No, I'm sorry. No, it's not okay. A time for questions. I've been clear with you. I've had a clear conversation with you before. I've tried to have conversation with you. You didn't want to. If you want to ask questions, you can do it during your next one-on-one with me.
Yeah.
Now, if they want to apologize, then, you know, if they said, Mark, I'd like to apologize, I'd say, I'm happy to hear one. Because, of course, I'd like to apologize means they'll do it sometime in the future. And if they were to say, I apologize, I got this wrong, and I'll try to do better, I say, great. Good. I'm thrilled. This is a great outcome. You know, we all make mistakes, and I've made them too, and let's just move forward.
Right. A little grace would be helpful there.
Oh, of course. Man, everybody wants grace when they need it.
Right.
And then when you're the one who can give it, you ought to give it.
Yeah, and our intent here is not to make them in quote unquote in trouble. Again, it's the same purpose of feedback. Our purpose of feedback is to get them to change behavior. And if your direct says they will change their behavior, there cannot be a better outcome, right? That's the outcome you want.
Yeah. Now there are people who will apologize because they don't know what apologies are, because apologies include the accepting of responsibility. And in this case, able to choose your responsibility would suggest that an apology in this situation would essentially require the changing of their causing them to accept feedback going forward.
Right. Yeah. If they say, I'm sorry you feel the way you do, that's not an apology.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I mean, actually, I we wrote about this a few years ago. We had a podcast 10, 12 years ago about, and it was driven by the sad state of affairs about public apologies, and they've only gotten worse. I mean, every single public apology, particularly those from elected officials during COVID, the classic example recently has been elected officials who say, you must stay home, and then they go somewhere. They go to an expensive restaurant or to another country or to another state, and then they say, well, I was leading with my heart and not my head. No. What you say is, I'm sorry. I was wrong. It was a mistake. I beg your forgiveness, and I'll try to do better. That's what you say. That's all. And people trying to explain things away. Well, it was outside, or, you know, Well, this, or well, that, you know, that's just, I'm not making a political statement. I'm just saying that, you know, apologies mean things, and apologies with explanations are not apologies.
Are you stumped finding a gift for a young professional in your life? Even trickier? Due to COVID, you'll not be seeing this person over the holidays. Consider gifting them attendance at one of our upcoming virtual conferences. You can buy the virtual EMC, ECC, EHMC, or remote manager conferences and assign them via email to others in your life. Give the gift of effectiveness at manager-tools.com/training.
Okay, it's been four parts, so let's summarize it in a minute or so.
Yeah. It's okay for a direct to say no. It's not okay for a direct to continue to say no, and therefore, you know, attempting to eliminate performance communications between you and them. We as managers are obligated to communicate about performance on a regular basis. Every person in every organization is ethically and professionally responsible to accept performance communications. Without that, the basic principles of organizational continuity begin to decay. The solution is to talk to your direct, explain the untenable nature of their stance, and make clear the consequences, because there would be consequences. That's it.
Cool. Thanks, my friend.
You bet, partner.
That was awesome. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. So long.